This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I can't decide whether it's spring or winter. Which is it?
It's a little bit of both. Sometimes, you know, if you wait a week, it'll be a little bit of both. You get all four seasons within like about a two-week span.
Well, you know, I believe you're right. You know, this last week, it was 86.
Yeah.
You know, we had doors that had metal on them that were burning our hands.
Yes.
And then it turned cold again.
Uh-huh.
And I said, my gosh, the little flowers, what are they going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. And then next week, it's going to get back up into the 70s. And then whatever happens, whatever blooms that messes with our sinuses in the air, that'll all come back again.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's always nice to have sinus problems.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And then once we get into summer, it'll be like 110, and it'll stay that way forever.
You know, I'm afraid since we've had such an early warmth, that it might get pretty hot this summer.
Yeah. I saw, though, and this may or may not be true, I saw where they were saying that I think it's El Nino that is fixing to take effect, and so this summer they expect it to be a little bit lower than usual temperature-wise.
So instead of 112, it'll only be 106.
Yeah.
I can understand that perfectly. No problem.
When you get that hot, a couple degrees doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter.
No.
It's too hot to go outside. I know that.
Yeah, that is true. Those days will be here soon enough.
I think they will. This year we've got a lot of flowers that are blooming early.
Yeah.
Because all the heat.
Mm-hmm.
The ground is getting warmer, and they're germinating, and they're coming out.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping they're going to make it.
Yeah, I hope so. I think normally around this time we should be around 60-ish. And then, you know, like you were saying, we saw temperatures up near 90 last week.
That's right. And they said, you know, in past years, the Farmer's Almanac said we've had freezes as late as April. And I
really
don't remember that.
I didn't know that.
But said we have. Ah. So if you did have a late freeze, you know, it could really affect them. But they're looking good right now.
Yeah, yeah. Everything is in good shape now.
Everything's looking pretty. Well, let's give out the phone number.
Let's do that.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And, of course, the website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. It's all about retiring early and happy and as wealthy as you possibly can. And there's a lot of ways that you can do it. A lot of people like to invest in the stock market, and a lot of people haven't seen a whole lot of growth, and a lot of people are up all night worrying and wondering, and the stress level is through the roof. And when you invest in life insurance policies, all that goes away.
Yes, I think it does. There's always a little bit of stress because it's new to you. But now if you're an old customer of ours, you're not stressed because you know it really works.
Yeah.
But I find that people that come to us, they just want to get out of the stock market. You know, they're getting to an age where they don't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like they would rather do something, an alternate investment. That's what we offer.
Yeah.
And you know, a life insurance policy is pretty safe. You know, we buy the life insurance policy on the people that have terminal illnesses, such as cancer. They get their lump sum up front, and then our people get the money when the policy matures.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a pretty safe way to do business.
It sure is. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, if for some reason something does happen to the stock market, this is not affected by that at all.
No. It's not affected by war. It's not affected by riots or anything else, or politics.
Yeah.
That's the big one. It's not affected by politics. When people have a policy, you know, usually they have several. And when these come due, they get paid. Mm-hmm. When the people pass away, they are paid in full. And the bank pays them. The bank always acts as an escrow agent. They are the payee. They pay out all this money and put it back in the client's accounts. The money never goes to American Financial. Checks are never made to us. We don't allow it, and we don't touch their money.
You are the facilitator.
That's right. And we hire the banks to be the escrow agent and to be the beneficiary, where that they are the beneficiary and they pay the clients.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only safe way I know to do it.
It really is, because really when you know, in other types of situations, when somebody writes a check to somebody who is doing the investing for them, and you know, their broker, and they go out and they could really spend it on anything they want to. This prevents that from happening at all.
Yes, it keeps everybody honest.
Yeah, exactly.
And in today's economy, we need that.
Oh, sure.
You know, and this way, when we open an account, it's not with us. We open the account at the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we bank at two different places, Nevada Trust and at Bank of Utah.
Yeah.
So when this happens, that's where it goes. And they can look at their account online at any time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has had a lot of policies mature this last year. Not everybody, but a lot. And, you know, we had five up till this week, and we had another one this week called Bauer.
Really?
B-A-U-E-R. And the Bauer policy, I believe it was supposed to be 27 months, and it came in, I think, in 16.
Another one significantly early.
Yes, it was significantly early. And, of course, you can always have some that are late. We do have some that are late.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens every once in a while. But we know they will mature. We know you're going to get paid, and that's sure. The important part.
Yeah.
That can't be taken from you. It's not going to change. And what I like is, you know, if it's a 27-month policy and it comes in, you know, 18 months,
mm-hmm.
then you can turn that money over a little bit faster.
Yeah.
We had a lot of people. I think we had 20... I want to say 27 or 29 million last year maturities.
Really?
And we've already had six this year so far.
That's incredible. That's a fantastic start.
And the Lambati policy that we had talked about a month ago, it's now in their accounts.
Oh, so that's all paid.
It's all been paid out. 4 million went to one bank, and I think 1 million went to the other bank.
Wow.
So those people now can reinvest. We bought a policy this week, one we talked about last week, the $3
million. Mm-hmm.
We got the contracts in. We're ready to go on that. It is pancreatic cancer, so everybody will want to go in that one.
Yeah.
And it's going to be at Nevada Trust.
Okay.
We've got a lot of people been waiting at Nevada Trust, so they'll be the first ones in this policy. And, of course, yesterday I had people bringing me extra money to go into it. Everybody loves pancreatic cancer because it's always short.
Yeah.
You know, it's not long term.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one's maybe 15 months.
So it's very aggressive. It's one of the most aggressive that these are. In fact, pancreatic cancer, from what I understand, is one of the priority cancers that you look for when you review policies.
Yes. If we can buy one, we do. Because we always find out that on pancreatic cancer, it's very quick and it's deadly. I don't know of anybody that hardly ever survives it.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of ours, they say it cannot be resected. That means they cannot operate on it.
Yeah.
So those are the kind that we really like. They're short, and you know you can turn your money a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that we have, you know, they're all mostly 90% are IRAs. So we're just rolling this over for retirement.
Yeah.
Trying to get them ready to retire, you know. And as you know, in December, we had three or four that did go ahead and retire. And since the first of the year, this week, we finished up for some people that retired. One of the gentlemen's retired from Frito-Lay.
Really?
Yes. And so we had several retirements happening, you know, this month.
Okay, what are the general ages of people who are retiring? Are we talking about, you know, younger than normal?
Well, I think this one was about 64. But I have another client that's retiring in May. He's already come in and talked to me about it. He's 59 years old.
Really?
And I tell him it's too early. He says it's not. He said he was throwing papers at 12. So his bones, I guess, are tired. But in my opinion, if you retire too early, your body just gives out, kind of goes to waste because you're not active enough. And we all need to be active every day of our life.
Sure.
So anyway, I give him 2 years. He'll be back doing something. I do not think he's going to just lay down and, enjoy this. I don't think he'll get in the hammock.
So he's going to get in the hammock or lay on the couch for a few months, probably do a little bit of traveling, and then be bored and come back and have to
he
do
will.
Something.
I mean, you can only play so much golf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I know men love golf, but how much of it can you do?
Yeah, but boy, isn't it nice to dream and actually retire early so you can play golf and then have the option, I'm bored, so let's go back to work.
And he's retiring near a river, so it sounds to me like he's going to fish and golf.
Yeah, that's the life right there.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. Yeah. This togetherness, husband and wife, day and night, 24 hours a day, let me tell you something, it's hard on you.
Yeah, it's an awful lot of time to spend with one person.
It is. And remember, you haven't done it all these years. You've been working every day.
Yeah.
And your wife was either working or at home.
Uh-huh.
And now she's got to put up with you 24 hours a day. Oh, my gosh. I don't think it's a good idea.
There should be some kind of course to go from the working force into retirement so that in between stage you're ready for what you're facing.
I think there should be a course on it, yeah. How to stay married through retirement.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think you have to really work at it. Once you retire, everybody needs some space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have several clients that bought a farm, and they go out every day and play around on the farm. They're playing around.
Yeah.
Not doing a lot of work, but it gets them out of the house.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's important because you go for many, many years. We all look forward to, retiring and, I'm just going to travel. I'm going to relax. I'm not going to do anything. But they're used to doing all that. You know, they need to be someplace. People are counting on them for things. And then all of a sudden, just like at the flip of a switch, all that's gone. And it's kind of like the second stage of becoming an empty nester. You kind of look around and you go, now what?
That's right. The children are gone.
Yeah.
What do we do? How do we do this? You know, how do we finish the rest of our life? The kids have got theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, I think it takes a lot of adjustment, and you have to really work on it. Or else go back to work.
You should open up a new branch of American Financial, and you could go into counseling pre-retirement.
I think marriage counseling is what you're going to need for that. You're going to have to say, how do we get along during this period of time?
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people make the adjustment fairly easy. Mm-hmm. Then I see a lot of the others are stressed.
Yeah.
They're just absolutely stressed.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
It's fun for the first few months.
Uh-huh.
Then it's not as much fun after a few months.
Yeah. Oh, I get to sleep in. Oh, yeah. I get up whenever I want to. Uh-huh.
And then, remember, the husband will tell you, ladies, I don't think that's the right way to vacuum a floor.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And you just turn it over to him.
Go for it, boy.
Yeah.
Here you go. Show me how it's done.
That's right. I'll go and have bridge with the girls.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, vacuuming is your problem.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
And that's right. When they come home to stay, they have all these opinions.
Yeah.
They just should not be giving their opinions.
No,
let me tell you.
Keep your mouth shut.
That's right. A happy marriage is not saying anything.
Yes.
You do not want to correct her on this, I guarantee.
No, because then you'll be retiring separately if you're not careful.
That's exactly right.
And we joke, but it really is. It's something to think about. A lot of people, we dream for 40 and 50 years. Hey, I can't wait till I retire.
That's right.
My goodness, you've got to go into it, and you've got to have your own thing, whether it's a hobby or, a club that you're involved in or something.
You've got to have something.
Yeah, you need to have your own identity.
And that's why you see so many men at the coffee shop together every morning of their life.
Yeah.
They have to get out of the house.
Uh-huh.
They are not wanted at the house, let me tell you.
Yeah.
She needs that space.
Yeah.
And they love it. When you leave in the morning, you don't come back till noon.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got some relief.
I had a grandfather who used to go get up. He'd still get up at, 4:30 in the morning, just like he used to when he was working, and he would go meet several of his friends at a little diner, and they would stay there for hours and eat and drink coffee and tell stories, and then, yeah, he'd get home in time for lunch, and then, you know, there you go, half the day is gone, but you still have your thing, your routine. He still needed a place to be, and people were counting on him. It was great.
And I think that's what a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people join clubs. They join things, you know. I'm not much of a joiner, but I know people who do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, retirement is forever.
Yeah.
Now, once you retire, a lot of people never go back to work. But then a lot of them do. I've got a lot of people that after 2 years, they really did go back to work.
Oh, really?
Yes. Doing something different, something they've never done before. But it was a lot more fun.
Well, yeah, because they've got their retirement already set up. They've got that money coming in. They've been investing, so there's plenty of funds there. Really, going back to work at that point is, it seems like to me, that it would be a lot less pressure because you don't have to do it. And when you don't have to do something, it makes it a lot more fun.
When you don't have to do something, it is fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you know every day, I have this obligation. I have to go to work.
Yeah.
You know. But then once you know, you can make that decision yourself. It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and having that nest egg, you know, that you've been investing for years and you've got those funds set aside, that is a really, really good feeling.
Well, and a lot of our clients, what we've done, the ones that have retired in the last 2 or 3 months, we've said, okay, how much do you want per month?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we've kind of figured it out. We've set aside cash until some of their policies come due. You know, like 50, 60,000, where they've got that backup in case they need it.
Yeah.
And then if they need it, they can go ahead and use it. If they don't, we'll leave it there. And in a couple of years, then we'll put more cash in.
Sure.
As policies come due.
And then they keep reinvesting, which keeps growing that pot.
That's right.
You know, there's still funds coming in.
And I've got a lot of people that when they retired, they said, Faye, we don't have to go do anything. We're making enough money with you that we can just sit back and get the checks.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good.
Those people, I assume, are always investing in different policies. How many people, or how many policies do you think people in that type of situation are normally in? 2, 3, 5?
4 or 5.
4 or 5,
yes,
at any
at
given
all
moment.
Times, yes, at all times.
All right.
And we've got several people, you know, their accounts are large.
Yeah.
And those people have got a lot of them.
Yeah.
And sometimes we invest a lot in one policy for them, and sometimes maybe just $100,000.
Yeah.
And then we've got people that don't have that much, and we may only have $50,000 in two policies or three, you know, depending what their financial circumstances are.
Sure.
So it's different for every person. But every person that's trying to grow their money, you know, they're working hard on it. They've brought their IRAs over to us, a SEP IRA, a traditional, or even a Roth, or maybe they have all three. And so we're investing out of all those accounts for them, you know, all the time, trying to keep them fully invested where they will have a good retirement when the time comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would assume there's not a lot of people who invest for a little while and then just stop. I assume that they invest and then they reinvest, and that cycle just keeps going and going and going.
Yes, it does. Because once they see how it works and that they're successful at it, you know, they do keep going. And let me, another thing this week, I got chocolates, and my secretary got chocolates from one of our dear clients.
Really?
Yes, and it was very, very nice of him, and I want to thank Rick for that.
Wow.
I don't know if he's listening this morning, but the chocolates were to die for. Let me tell you.
So you got the fancy chocolate that
we
I assume.
We got the good stuff, not the cheap stuff. This was not, you know, it wasn't from Walmart.
Yeah, that's fantastic. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And the website, as always, is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can go there, find case studies, data from past investments. You can find testimonials. Let me ask you, Faye, when you have clients come in, and I'm talking about people who have been with you for a long time,
okay,
do they find themselves getting nervous? Do they find themselves, you know, always wondering, always checking? Or do they pretty much say, okay, Faye, I want in this policy, so here's what I'm going to invest, and they don't think about it or do anything?
Most of them don't think about it until it comes due.
Okay.
In fact, I'm sending them emails saying, you know, this one's come due or that one's come due. And they're just glad we just renew it.
So they set it and forget it.
That's right. Now, the new clients, that's a different story. They don't know us real well yet. So they're a little nervous, you know. They're just going in their first policies. And they have questions sometimes. And they'll come back to the office and say, I've got these three new policies with you, and I have questions about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to answer them.
Sure.
You know? And one guy had one that went over. You know, and I think it made him nervous. He said, what if it goes over for 10 years? I said, on cancer?
That's
not going to happen, you know. I said, it might be another year or 2 years if they were on clinical trials.
Mm-hmm.
And we try not to buy any that the people have gone to clinical trials because it will delay their demise.
Yeah.
They may live another 2 years on clinical trials. But in the end, the clinical trial will not save you. It's just it's a new medication that's not been approved that they want to see how you do on it.
It just may prolong things.
It will prolong things. And so we try not to do those.
Okay.
And we've had several people that did a stem cell transplant, and they didn't work.
Really?
Yeah. And we're always very cautious about buying a policy if they've had a stem cell transplant.
Mm-hmm.
But we bought one not long ago that the stem cell did not even work.
Really?
The cancer kept progressing even after the stem cell, so it rejected it, obviously. It didn't work.
A stem cell, doesn't that pretty much just wipe everything out and then reset it from scratch?
Well, a stem cell is going to change everything because it's this fresh new blood and all this that's going into you.
Yeah.
And so it should change everything.
Yeah.
But sometimes it doesn't.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I thought it was just an odd. I've always heard it was a long process, not just the procedure, but the recovery, you know, period. But I always heard that it was magnificently successful.
Well, I have a client that did live after stem cell, you know, but it's from her brother.
Oh, okay. So it was in the family.
And so I think if it's a family one, you've got a real good chance. But if it's not from a family, it's you know, one that they have there at the hospital,
mm-hmm.
That they've harvested, you don't have near as good a chance.
So when you present opportunities to your clients to invest in, you've already gone through policies. You look for things like you know, stem cell transplants. You look for things like the experimental programs. What other kinds of things do you look for? Because I know when a policy comes on your desk and you present it to your investors and you say, okay, here's a policy to invest in. I would recommend it. It's good to go. It's clean because you've gone through it. What kinds of things do you look for
to make
sure?
Well, the first thing I look for is how much weight have they lost, okay? And what drugs are they taking? If they're on oxycodone and they're on all this pain medication, the heavy, heavy stuff, mm-hmm. you know, they're really in bad shape.
Yeah.
I bid on one 2 days ago, and it said this woman is terminally ill and told how bad a shape she was in. And so when they said, you know, she is ill, critical, and when they say this person is that sick, I know it's going to be a good policy. This woman had had lung cancer, and it went to her brain. Now, they operated once, and that wasn't enough. They had to do it again.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, she started falling then. Her gait was bad. You know, she was having terrible headaches. And so, you know, they did not get it. I've never known anybody to get it all on brain cancer. That's just me. A lot of people may have. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've experienced these. We've bought several brain cancers. None of them survived. And so this lady would not survive either. And then I looked to see if they're doing traditional medicine. You know, I looked at a man this week that they told him, you know, he had colon cancer. And it's deadly. It's the deadliest cancer there is. This is what you need to do. We want to do this radiation. We want to do the chemo in a really aggressive treatment. He said, no, I'm going to go to Denver and do homeopathic.
Oh.
Let me tell you something. This guy will be dead.
Wow. Now,
homeopathic is good if you've done everything else.
Mm-hmm.
If you've done your chemo, if you've done radiation, everything you can, if you've tried everything. But then if you just say, no, I'm not going to do the surgery, you know, we're not going to eradicate it. We're not going to do it. We're just going to do homeopathic. The guy will be dead quickly.
So when you see a policy come across your desk that you're thinking about bidding on, if you see something like, okay, I'm not going to do chemo, I'm going to go to Mexico and I'm going to try this magic water thing, those are the types of things you're all over.
I am, because I know they're not going to survive.
Yeah.
You know, this Bauer that came due this week, this was a lady that had breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she did the homeopathic route. And that's why I bought it.
Yeah.
I said, she will not survive it.
Yeah.
You know, when you're fighting cancer, these people need to fight it with everything they have.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to try everything if they want to survive.
Yeah.
But a lot of them get this deal. They don't want to be disfigured. They don't want the surgery. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I would think you'd do surgery to save your life, but
yeah,
they don't.
And sometimes the treatment is often harder on the body than the actual disease itself.
It is, and I know that. But I would not say, well, we're not going to operate. We're not going to do that. We're just going to go to Mexico and try this oil and all this.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't seem to me like it's that you would know it wasn't going to save your life.
And I would imagine you've probably, over the last, you know, as many years as you've been doing this, you've seen policies come in like that. And yeah, I'm assuming you've tracked them and you've, again, I'm assuming, have never seen one work out.
No, I have never.
Okay.
And I, you know, we had one earlier in the year,
mm-hmm.
You know, that was 30 months. It came in 12. I went back and researched it to see what I had done.
Yeah.
And again, they didn't do, you know, what they should have done.
Yeah.
And the other thing is if they're obese, mm-hmm. if you're obese, you're going to go a lot quicker.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the ones that are obese, I look to see if they are. And then I look at the ones that have lost a lot of weight. If they've lost 40 pounds, they're in bad shape.
Yeah.
And I looked at one yesterday, and it showed that it, you know, it seemed to be maybe in remission. And then on down there, that said it is progressing fast.
Oh.
So maybe it had a few months there when the chemo was making it look like it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't gone. And so then it showed that it has started progressing again. So you're looking for progression of the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking to make sure it's stage 4. You're looking to see if they were able to resect it or not. If they weren't, it's going to be quicker also.
Yeah.
And pancreatic cancer, a lot of them, they cannot operate.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we did that Whitworth, we did that big one, you know, a couple of years ago, 20 million. The guy had pancreatic cancer, and they could not operate on it. And that was my first big policy, 20 million. And we talked to the two LE companies, and I asked them, you know, why is this guy going to die this quick? And they said, you can't operate. And if it's right there but the vein, they will not operate. So it was, it didn't, and, you know, he lasted 12 months.
Wow.
And it was an 18-month policy.
That is aggressive.
It was very aggressive. And pancreatic cancer is a deadly cancer.
So when patients get into this kind of a situation and they're looking at, you know, the progression of their own disease, they're looking at how severe the cancer is, that's when they start making the decisions, okay, I want to go ahead and sell this policy because I want to take care of, you know, my estate. I want to take care of some business. I don't want to leave things to chance. And so that's how you end up getting these policies to bid on.
Yes. And, you know, when these people go to their broker,
mm-hmm.
and say, I want to sell my life insurance policy. The broker tells them what his fees are going to be. And so then they make a decision if they want to sell it. You know, they know, like you say, they have obligations. They have family obligations. A lot of them, you know, the ones I've looked at this week were all young. I bid on one lady that was 36 years old.
Really?
Yes. 36 to about 55 this week.
Oh, my.
They were all young. And it's always amazing. You know?
Wow.
And did you notice two of the Fox people that are Fox contributors passed away this week of cancer? Brenda Butler, I've seen her many times on Saturday morning. She did a financial show on Saturday morning, and she passed away with cancer.
Oh, wow.
Then Alan Combs.
Yeah.
And his just lasted a few months.
Yeah.
And it tells you they didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these are so aggressive, you don't know you've got it till it's really too late.
Yeah.
You know, when we get them, lots of times it'll say they discovered it in 15 or they discovered it maybe in 16.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that it's pretty fast moving. So those are the policies I try to buy. You know, I don't want to buy one that's in remission. It might be in remission for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't want to buy senior policies.
You don't do elderly. They're no. not sick.
I know. I've been burned on that so bad. So bad. You know, remember this about the elderly. They're elderly. They're sweet. But they're not sick.
Yeah. And there's a big difference.
That is. And when we get a policy comes across my desk and it says an 85-year-old male, I can't hit the wastebasket fast enough. You know, I've been burned so bad, I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know? I think we have one policy left that has some elderly in it.
Mm-hmm.
One.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to go bye-bye.
Yeah. Well, you learned these lessons, you know, towards the beginning of the whole process when you started selling life insurance or having people invest in life insurance
yes.
policies.
Well, and if you don't learn every day, you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You have to learn from your mistakes, and that's what we've done. We've learned from our mistakes. We've learned that, you know, the money has to go to the bank, has to be escrowed with the bank. We want the people doing business with our banks, and that's the way we've structured it. And that's why we're successful. It's because the bank pays the premium for us. There's no excuses about the premium. It is going to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
We are notified. And then we have 21st Services tracking these people. And we can't do everything. So we're glad that these people track them. We know within 2 days when they've passed away.
Wow, that's really fast.
It is. And, you know, we have about $80 million that we manage.
Really?
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Of course, it probably isn't to the big companies, but to us, it's a lot.
Sure, and that's why you can't afford to just guess. That's why you go through these policies with a fine-tooth comb, and you often spot things that maybe other people didn't spot.
That's right. I think that we do.
You know, yeah.
Well, we try to be very, very careful. And I personally study every one of them.
Yeah.
You know? And the LE companies are telling me all this, and they're laying it out there for me to make the decision.
Yeah.
They're saying, this is what happened. This is how long it's been. This is when we think they're going to pass away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to make a decision. Are they right? Which ones do we want?
Well, you're very thorough in your analysis of these policies. You don't just take anybody's word for it. You go through, you put your own, physically, you have your own two eyes on every single policy before you take it to your clients to invest in.
That's exactly right. And so far, it's working. You know, we have policies coming due all the time,
yeah.
Which that's what's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And people are getting ready to retire, and this is going to help them retire.
Yeah.
There ain't any doubt about it. I have people bringing me money every week because they've talked to our other clients. I had a lady in this week, had two of our clients recommend us.
Really?
Yeah, not just one. She said she had went to the bank. And she saw this other client of mine. She said, I am so tired of these CDs at the bank. They're not paying anything. She said, well, you need to go talk to Faye.
Wow.
And she listened to our radio program last Saturday, mm-hmm. and she came in this week.
Wow, now that's fast.
It was fast. And as I said, and another client she talked to this week said, oh, yeah, we have our money with Faye.
Uh-huh.
And she said, that's good enough. That's two right there.
Yep.
That she knew intimately.
Uh-huh.
And well, one of them is an old client that's been with us for years. And anyway, she came in and put her money with us this week.
Yeah. And when friends and family recommend you that, I mean, that's it doesn't get any better than
no.
that.
No. And then we had a doctor this week that brought money to us. He's been a doctor. He retired after 50 years. He said he practiced medicine for exactly 50 years.
Really?
Yes. And a very fine gentleman. And he was in a couple months ago, and he said, the reason I didn't come back to see you, my wife fell and broke her hip in the meantime.
Oh, wow.
So he was nursing her back to health and helping her get to rehab.
And she's okay now.
Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, these things happen to people. Mm-hmm. And it's like those Oriental rugs. You know, my other client tripped on it, and she never recovered.
Yeah.
Because of her age.
Mm-hmm.
She was 89.
Oh, wow.
89, lived a long, good life.
My goodness, that is.
Yeah, and she had definite ideas about people spending money and what they should do with their money.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I tracked her bank account. That was part of my job because I was trustee for her. And it would always show she'd been to Dairy Queen to eat. That was a highlight of her day, going to Dairy Queen to eat.
I wonder if it's the secret to living longer.
I don't know. Maybe it was all those hamburgers she was eating. I don't know. But sure did, I can tell you that.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, you bring in some fascinating information. We start getting into trivia. And so what are we talking about today?
We're talking about, where did chicken fried steak originate?
Oh, I love chicken fried steak.
Everybody does.
Oh, my goodness.
I hesitated to talk about it because I knew we were going to get hungry.
Yeah.
I knew right away what was going to happen. Where do you think it originated?
I'm going to say Austin, Texas.
La Mesa, Texas, right over
really?
Here.
Really?
Right north of us.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And they celebrate it every year with a festival.
Really?
Isn't that neat?
Wow.
That's exactly right.
I can't believe it started just down the road and
just
I didn't know.
Just down the road and you didn't even know, see? But let me tell you how it came. Again, the Germans and the Austrian immigrants that came over here in the 19th century brought recipes and they called it Wiener Schnitzel.
Uh-huh.
And it was from Europe. And La Mesa is the one who started it. La Mesa, Texas. Dawson County, right here in the plains. And as I said, they host an annual celebration about it. And The Virginia Housewife was published in 1938 by Mary Randolph. She had a recipe in there for veal cutlets. And it's the earliest recipe they know about for chicken fried steak.
Wow.
And that was in 1838.
Really?
1838. And now we know that chicken fried steak was included in a lot of the original old cookbooks.
Mm-hmm.
In the 19th century, the Oxford English Dictionary. Can you believe the Oxford English Dictionary?
I can't believe it.
And they called it chicken fried steak. And it was from a restaurant advertisement June 19th, 1914, in the Colorado Springs Gazette.
Really?
They advertised it in 1914. Chicken fried steak.
I didn't realize it had been around this long.
It's been around a long time. And in 1943, there was an American cookbook recipe for Wiener Schnitzel, and it includes a white salt and pepper cream gravy.
Oh, delicious. Oh, it's my favorite.
Yes, and it's the state meal, meat meal in Oklahoma.
It is?
And they did that in 1988.
Really?
Yes, named chicken fried steak as their official state meal for the state of Oklahoma.
Wow.
So
I didn't know they had an official state meal.
Well, they do.
Just the fact that they have one is fascinating. The fact that it's chicken fried steak is even better.
Okay, and we, of course, call it chicken fried steak.
Yeah.
Now, in some parts of the country, they call it country fried steak.
Uh-huh.
Country fried steak. And it's regional. And there's some places they even put brown gravy with it.
Really?
And we would never do that in
no.
Texas. We would always have white gravy with it, you know? And some places, they call it country steak. Now, when they call it country steak, it's a Salisbury steak, which is a chopped steak.
Yeah.
And that Salisbury, they're calling it that. And then another term is steak fried chicken. They're doing a chicken fried chicken, and they're calling it a steak fried chicken.
Uh-huh. That's a little backwards.
Yes, they are. But can you imagine that in La Mesa, Texas, they swear they started chicken fried steak?
I have to be honest, I don't know why, but I guess I didn't realize that they were frying foods in 1838.
Well, yes. Well, don't you realize? How about the old cowboys out there on the range? They had the old iron skillets, and they were frying everything.
Well, yeah, that's true. I guess I just thought that they put it in the pan, put it over the fire, and just let it roast.
No, don't you remember all the old movies? They always showed the cook getting the flour.
Well,
yeah, he's getting the flour.
That's the movie.
Throwing it in a pan. But it had to be authentic. Everything has to be authentic.
If it's in the movie, it must be true.
That's right. I mean, that's my theory. They wouldn't dare make a Western and it not be authentic.
No, that's true.
I mean, so anyway, chicken fried steak, La Mesa, Texas.
Wow. And when is the festival? Do they have it every year?
They have it every year to celebrate chicken fried steak.
Well, I need to go to this year.
Yes, and it's right down the road.
Wow.
And I think it's this month. It's either this month or March.
Is it really?
Yes.
So it's coming up quickly.
It's coming up quickly.
Oh, I got to get in on that.
Yeah, so you need to go and try the various kinds of chicken fried steak and cream gravy.
And it's really cool that the original chicken fried steak is from right here in Texas. Just like all the other good stuff, it started right here.
That's right. The good things come from Texas.
Yes.
You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, and chicken fried steak is one of our most popular things.
Oh, I love it. How do you
we
not?
We all do.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, on Saturday night, chicken fried steak, cream gravy, mashed potatoes, and green beans.
Oh, it doesn't get any better than I want some right now.
And see, I knew that's what would happen.
Yeah.
That's why I hesitate to talk about it. Everybody will be down at the restaurant getting some chicken fried steak.
You should have brought us a plate or two in with you.
That's right. If I'd brought a plate in, man, we'd have been going to town on that.
We'd be done already.
It would have been a fast segment, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We'd spend the rest of the time sounding like this.
That's right. You sound like a llama now.
Oh, wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. And you know, people need to go to that website. And look us up. Look at all the policies that came due this last year. And look at how long it took.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting.
At American Financial Midland, you've actually got what people made through their investments.
Every policy that comes due goes up there.
Mm-hmm. And those are real numbers. Those aren't just made up figures.
No, it's
those
got everybody's initials on it.
Yeah.
Tells who was in it.
It's fascinating to see how much money people made.
It is.
By investing in life insurance policies.
Somebody added it up one day. They told me they went and looked at, they took one initial and went through there, you know, for a couple of years and said, I know how much that person made.
Wow.
I wouldn't have thought of doing that.
Yeah. But it really is fascinating when you start running the numbers, how much money can actually be made.
That's exactly right. And if you're consistent, you know, we've got one guy. They told me he'd made $270,000.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
It is a lot.
So I know you've got several clients who have been investing for years. Uh-huh. But for those who are new, I know we've talked about how this is so much different than your typical investment in the stock market. And it takes a little bit of time for people to get used to. How long does it take usually for people to relax and just, you know, go, okay, this is working? How many investments do they need to make?
I would think that first one.
Okay.
Once they see how much they made, you know, when they get it back and they've made 25%,
yeah,
you know, they're pretty happy. They're saying this is a good thing.
So it doesn't take long for people to realize, hey, this is much safer. I can sleep at night. I don't have to worry about what's happening on Wall Street. I don't have to worry about what's going on overseas. I'm going to grow my money regardless.
That's right. And they see that all the money goes back to the bank each time.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that their money is safe. It's at the bank.
And you don't do anything with anybody until they're completely 100% comfortable.
Oh, no. We're not going to do that. Yeah. First of all, you know, we want them to be accredited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody asked me yesterday, said, I didn't think you used to require $100,000. I said, we didn't, but we changed it.
Yeah.
You know, because we want to be sure you've got enough money.
Yeah.
We want to be sure you've got emergency money, that you've got money to live on. You know, because this for 2 years, you can't get to your money.
Yeah.
It is not liquid during that time.
This is not a source of income.
No. So they have to know all that. So we go over every bit of that. They have to know so many things in order to do business with
mm-hmm.
us. We make sure they understand the investment, you know, that they understand how it works, how they're going to get paid, that they don't get paid till the people pass away.
Yeah.
Those are all good questions. And we make sure they know that. And if there's any chance they're going to need that money in 6 months, they can't do this.
Yeah. And you check everything. You make sure, and this is not only because you have to, but also to protect people against themselves, to make sure that, you know, yes, if something does come up, they've got plenty of money over there. Because the last thing you want is for somebody to, for something to happen, and then somebody comes to you and says, Faye, I need this money back that I invested in, and you can't give it to them.
That's right, because it wasn't liquid.
Right.
So we make sure that what kind of income they have, if they have a 401k, if they have CDs at the bank, if they have oil and gas income, we're going to check all that and make sure.
And so you got the qualification process, and there's a screening process the first time somebody calls you.
Yes, we do. We ask them all kinds of questions, like we're going to ask them what their income is, what their net worth is. It's not that we want to know. It's the government wants to know.
Yeah.
Because on this, you have to be qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to ask them all those questions to make sure they can do this program.
Yeah.
You know, it might not be for them.
And this really isn't for everybody. Sometimes
no,
people are not comfortable with it. Sometimes they don't qualify. But regardless, you're there to look out for your clients. You've been doing this for many, many years. It's why you have so many clients that refer their friends and their family, because they've gone through the process and they've made money and they've done it really the safe way.
That's right. And we want their money to be safe. We want them to be able to do it over and over with us again. Mm-hmm. And that's why we've taken all the safeguards and put it at the bank.
So if somebody's hearing you now and they're saying, okay, this is something I at least want to get more information on, what do they need to do?
Well, they need to call, make an appointment, bring their statements, if it's IRAs or if it's a 401k or if it's an annuity, whatever it is they're thinking about using to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of times people bring in several different things, so we never know.
Okay.
Okay.
And to get started, one more time, what's that phone number?
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.